So today is Pentecost. It's the day the Holy Spirit gave birth to the church. No Spirit, no church. Got it? And where the Spirit abides, the church abides. So, my question is Pentecost still happening today? Yeah, the kid said yes. Yeah. And if so, is it happening here? Yes. So about 20 years ago, there was a visitor that came to the church I was serving. I was pastoring in Mount Airy, North Carolina at the time, and I was at Antioch Baptist Church. The church was growing just rapidly. We had all kinds of people coming and visitors all the time. And this lady was sat towards the back of the church. We had a deacon that joined her and walked in and sat with her. One of the things that they tried to do, which I thought was kind of interesting, was they would assign deacons at the door, and when visitors would come in, they would greet them and welcome them, and then they would sit with them in the worship service after they introduced themselves to them. So some people would like that, others probably wouldn't, but it gives people a friend. And David sat with her. She was sitting in the back, and I saw her back there. And an interesting thing happened. We had gotten maybe through, you know, the first couple of songs, and I hadn't even preached yet, and she got up and started to leave. And David was kind of alarmed. He'd helped her fill out the visitor card and that kind of thing, and then he went out in the foyer as she was leaving. And he said, is there something wrong? Were you offended by something? Was something happened that... She said, no. Well, she said, in my church, we usually start the service by handling snakes. And I noticed you don't have any here. He said, oh, no, we don't have any snakes. She said, I think I'm going to go to my church. And he said, yeah, okay. So... She went back up into the mountains. You know how Mayberry is, so you know, she went up with Otis and all those folks up there, and they had those snakes, and we didn't have any snakes in the church service. Praise the Lord, somebody said. You see, different people look for different signs of God's Spirit present. And they define the church in a certain way. This is what I'm looking for when I'm looking for a church. And it's God's Spirit present. In her case, it was snakes. We didn't have any. So she was headed out. This is your daughter talking. She's saying, I do not want snakes in the church. She's going to leave, so what's the Spirit's language for you? No snakes. Yeah. Well, there are lots of different ways that the Holy Spirit is present. I shared with you one of the things that our church is known for, and we like to kind of talk about, is that we're friendly, and we're friendly to each other and friendly to visitors. And I contacted a visitor, and I said, you know, so glad that you came. I said, I hope that you'll be coming back. And she said, I don't think so. And it wasn't because of snakes. You know what she told me? She said, y'all are a bit too much friendly. And I said, are you kidding me? I've never in my life heard of a church being too friendly. Now, I've heard of churches that didn't greet me or welcome me or didn't say nice things, but I didn't know we were too friendly. She said, yeah, it seemed like everybody in the whole church came up and said hi to me, and I just wasn't ready for that. So, you know, it's different things people are looking for. And whatever it is, it's that spirit that lives within that particular place. And they say, you know, that's exactly the kind of place that I believe God wants me to be. I usually tell people that you'll feel like a glove fitting on a hand. It just feels right. You just know it. Yeah, this is a good place. I just know it. It feels right. That's all. And sometimes you can't really explain it, right? It just feels right. And that's that Holy Spirit speaking, right? And you just feel it. It's on the inside. So how do you learn the language of the Spirit? The miracle of the birth of the church, the Holy Spirit poured out upon believers, young and old, men, women. They all began to preach this new word. They all began to share this new thing about God's love, a diverse collection. It was Jews from all these nations, all these cultures, and each understood the message. They all understood it in their own native tongue. And the response was overwhelming. So what was the miracle of Pentecost? A one-time event? Or does it happen again and again? I think it does. Is it just a historical recital of what used to be or what used to happen? Or is it really about the life of the church and what it's supposed to be now? You know, every Sunday is Easter, right? Every Sunday is a celebration of remembering of the resurrection. It's not just an experience that I used to have, and it's an experience that I have every Sunday. Every Sunday is an Easter. Every Sunday is an experience of the resurrection of Christ in my life for today. So what is it that God is saying to me now? When you listen and you're changed and you're transformed in the worship experience, that's what I call a Pentecostal service. You get changed by the Holy Spirit's presence. God's speaking to you. It's an amazing thing. I'm standing at the door and I hear people and they come out and they talk to me and they greet me and they shake my hand and they say hi and everything. And then sometimes what ends up happening, and I've shared this with you before, is somebody will say to me, you know, today when you said, and then they quote me, and I shake my head, and I think to myself, I didn't say that. But you heard me say that. So who was talking to you? That was God. And you know what? I never, ever dispute it. I've had people send me emails. You preached in a sermon so and so many years ago. Now, folks, I know my sermons. And they'll quote me. And I'll think, I never said that. Never. But you heard that. They truly did hear that. That's worship. Or when someone comes and says, you know, I didn't get anything out of the sermon. Worship is much more than just the experience of me proclaiming the gospel. The choir has a sermon too, right? One of the things about Baptist churches, let me tell you about Baptist architecture. You know why we do this the way we do this? Not every church does it this way. We have the pulpit in the center. Why do we do that? This is a little educational sidebar. It's not in my sermon, but I want to teach you something about being Baptist. The center of the pulpit, the reason the pulpit is in the center of every Baptist church is because the proclamation of the gospel is central to who we are. That just fits what we think about what we're supposed to be doing. And right behind me is the choir. Now, not every church has the choir behind us. Some churches have the choir to the side, right? But not in a Baptist church. It's always going to be behind you. You know why? Because they proclaim the gospel too. And then behind the choir is something. What's behind the choir? Right, and what's in front of the pulpit? Yeah, the Lord's table. So we have two ordinances. We have baptism and the Lord's Supper. And those are the two ordinances of the church, and they're also central. So we have the proclamation of the gospel. The pulpit's always in the center. You'll never find a lectern in a Baptist church. In some churches, you'll find a pulpit and a lectern. Two pulpits, right? Not in a Baptist church. The pulpit is central. Proclamation of the gospel. It's who we are. And it's a funny kind of thing, but that's how the Holy Spirit has guided us to be what we call Baptist. Does that make us better than anybody else? No. But that's the Holy Spirit's guide for us. I'm going to talk a little bit more about this a little bit later, but I want to give you some kind of concepts and some ideas about what it is that separates us, that makes our culture different from other cultures. We call Christian cultures or churches different Christian cultures. They have their own culture. Our church has its own culture. We have our own language. And the problem that a lot of people have is they come into our church and they don't know our language. When we say, well, we're CABC, they look at you like, well, CAB what? Colonial Avenue Baptist Church. We don't say it all. We just say CABC, right? But if you don't know that, you might be thinking somebody's going to go get some liquor over down the store, right? No, that's us. We're CABC. And we have our own culture. We have our own way of speaking to one another, talking to each other, being church, doing church. So, when the Holy Spirit enters in, it's transforming and it creates this new kind of understanding. Anybody watch the royal wedding? Anybody? I wasn't going to watch it. So I decided, though, I'll just flip it on. I get up about 5 o'clock, 5:30 every day. So it's Saturday morning, and I thought, well, I'll just flip the TV on, you know. And boy, was I surprised. So Bishop Curry starts speaking. I studied at Oxford University, and I've been to Windsor Chapel on many occasions, just outside of London. And I got to tell you, I have never, ever heard any kind of preacher like that speak from that pulpit. The Bishop of Canterbury was there. I don't know if you saw him. He was sitting behind Bishop Curry, and he looked like he had lemons for breakfast. If you guys get a chance to watch Bishop Curry speak, you'll appreciate what I have to say. You see, because what happens is Bishop Curry brought an entirely new culture into a very different culture of church. This is what I'm talking about. Did he not? He preaches from a Black Baptist perspective, but he's an Episcopalian bishop. This is what he said. Someone once said that Jesus began the most revolutionary movement in human history, a movement grounded in the unconditional love of God for the world, and a movement mandating people to live that love, and in so doing to change not only their lives, but the very life of the world itself. I'm talking about power, real power, and when he says it, he says power. I can't do it like he does it. No. I can't, can I? No, Power! Power to change the world. And if you don't believe me, where there's some old slaves. Okay, so he's quoting slavery. This is in they showed the royal family looking around. I don't know if any of you saw the royal family. Did you see them? You liked it? I did too. Yeah, he's talking about slavery in America's antebellum. And then he says this, love is the way. We'll lay down our swords and shields down by the riverside to study no more. Love is the way. They sang a spiritual, even in the midst of their captivity, that says there is a balm in Gilead, a healing balm, something that can make things right. There's a balm in Gilead that makes the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead that heals the sin-sick soul. And he starts with this beautiful old spiritual. And then he says, and one of the stanzas says this, if you cannot preach like Peter and you cannot pray like Paul, you just tell the love of Jesus, how he died to save us all. So you see what the Holy Spirit does and what the Holy Spirit has in common that we share, not just with our culture, but with all Christian culture, is this. The Holy Spirit comes into your life in a way that changes and transforms you into the person God wants you to be, where you take your gifts, whatever they may be, and you start using them to transform and change the world. Jesus isn't here physically, but he's here in Holy Spirit through you, through me. And what's the one power, this is what Bishop Curry is talking about, that the Holy Spirit gives to each of us that we can give to others? What is it? Come on, you all know. Yeah. Does love change things? Changed you, right? Remember when you first fell in love? You fell in love with your daddy. She said, I fell in love with my daddy. Oh, yeah, your parents love each other. Yeah. Have you ever fallen head over heels in love with somebody? What happens? You can't think of anything else, right? I mean, that's just it. That's just the focus. Everything, all the time. You're head over heels in love. And so what I would encourage you to do is to fall head over heels in love with God, because God is head over heels in love with you. And then you start changing. Love changes us. Doesn't it? Transforms us. And we become different. One of the things about atheists that I've come to understand, people, you know, who say they don't believe in God, it's kind of an interesting thing. One of my professors said, it's not so much that an atheist doesn't believe in God. What it is they don't believe that God can love them. Isn't that amazing? We don't think God can love us. Because we don't love ourselves. We can't imagine anybody loving us. Certainly not God. But when the Holy Spirit enters in, the realization is that God does love you. That you are loved by God. And when the Holy Spirit enters in and the church becomes the church, then what happens is we start loving each other. We love each other within the church, within the culture that we live in. We love each other outside the church. And the Holy Spirit then creates a new person. Person of love. It's not a substance. It's a presence. And it's really not a power, it's a person, okay? Holy Spirit is the variety of ways that we encounter the invisible, mysterious presence of the eternal God among us And that presence is one of love and peace and courage and direction. The evidence that God is with us, like Moses on Mount Sinai. We can't see God, only the glory of God around us. Like the wind Jesus is talking about when he's talking to Nicodemus. We can't see God, but we can feel the push of the wind. And at Pentecost, the evidence is clear. The sound is like a mighty rushing wind or tongues of fire. It's people gathering, people preaching, people responding to the gospel as it's being shared, and each understanding the message in his own language. And it's the message of love. And some of them go back and they carry the gospel with them through the diverse groups. And that's how the churches were formed. Isn't that amazing? So not just one sign of the Spirit, but many signs. All of them happening, taking place. That's the story of Pentecost. And one of the signs that the Spirit and Pentecost is happening here is when there's not just one preacher, but a whole bunch of preachers. Because it's not just me sharing the good news. It's not just me ministering and caring for the sick. It's not just me offering love. It's all of us. And to me, that's a sign that the Spirit is here. You're a prophet too. You know somebody who needs the love of Jesus? Can you tell them about it? Sure you can. Do you know somebody who's sick that needs the love of Jesus? Can you visit them? Sure you can. Can you be a carrier of the love of Christ to the people around you? I got to tell you, folks, you know, being the church, one of the great things about the church is that churches grow because of us, not me. 3% of the people who join the church because of the pastor. 3%. That means 3 out of 100 I'm responsible for. The 97%, guess who's responsible for that? Yeah. People come because they're loved in this place and because they become instruments of love to the world around them. And that's the Holy Spirit at work. I hope that you found your mission. Everybody needs 2 things in church. Right? What do you need? You guys got to learn this now. Everybody needs a friend. Everybody needs a job. If you haven't got a friend, I don't know, look around you. There's probably somebody sitting next to you who'll be your friend, right? I'll be your friend. Karen will be anybody's friend, won't she? Yeah, yeah, she's everybody's friend. What are you trying to say? You stopped preaching, preacher, and you've gone to meddling now, so, right? Everybody needs a friend. And everybody needs a job. Why you need a job? Because you've got a gift and you need to use it. And then you become a part, right? I'm important because I have something that I can do to contribute. And the Holy Spirit will guide you to those things. The story of Pentecost began with a group of disciples praying in an upper room. But the Spirit spilled out. And went into the world. The good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ went into the world. It's not just an upper room experience. And the upper room couldn't contain it. Neither can we. The same Spirit who has gathered us here in this upper room is going to send us out to a diverse world that needs the love of God. And the world will never be the same. The bishop was right. The world will never be the same. That's power. That's power. Let's pray. Send your Spirit upon us, O Lord. Make us so aware of your presence that we are overwhelmed with your peace, your joy, your love. And then let us carry the light and your love with us to a world that desperately needs it. Let Pentecost continue among us today. Let us be your disciples. Let us be your church. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.